Hello, everyone, and welcome back to CC Airwaves. My name is Paige Matillo, and I am here with my co-host, Joel Hansel. Today, we have our latest guest for the Inspiring Stories of Healing and Hope series, Teresa Tomeo. How are you doing today, Teresa?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're good. We were just
doing
talking
well.
About how hot it is in here. We're in our podcast studio.
Yeah.
I know. But you are in Italy, and I'm very jealous of you because I've always wanted to go to Italy. What's the weather like there?
To come. It's our happy place, and so we're trying to spend as much time here as possible. So we're blessed to be able to do that. But I'm still working, doing the radio show and all that good stuff. So just 6 hours ahead of everybody. That's all.
No. What did you do today in Italy since it's about 5:30 there, so nearing the end of the day?
Well, I did my radio show and then did some little bit of work around the house and answered some emails. So, yeah. So it was interesting trying to get used to the different schedule because normally I do my show first thing in the morning from 8 to 10, and now it's 2 to 4. So, yeah. But it's great. I love it. I'm very, very blessed.
I've always wanted to visit Italy, so I guess I'm going to have to.
It's the most beautiful country in the world. I'm somewhat prejudiced because of my Italian background, but what can I say?
I'm also Italian, which is why I want to go.
I saw the vowels at the end of your name. I'm thinking,
yep.
She's a sister.
Exactly. You know from the vowels.
Yep.
But I guess we'll just get started. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I mean, where do I begin? Let's see. I'm 63 years old. I was born in the Catholic Church, raised in the Catholic Church, cradle Catholic, 100% Italian American, very familiar with Cleveland. I have resident relatives in Cleveland in the Strongsville area. My godfather, Frank Tomeo, ran an interior design store there for many years before he passed away. I live now in metropolitan Detroit. My family originally came from Jersey, and we moved to Michigan when I was about 5 years old, raised there, went to journalism school, and have been working in the industry for 42 years now, 20 years in the secular media, 21 years in the Catholic media. And I had my reversion to my faith, to make a long story short, while I was in the secular media, and walked away from a very lucrative career because I just didn't feel I was doing what God wanted me to do and didn't feel that the media or who they were claiming to be. And so in 2000, I just walked away, and then God slowly opened up new doors for me. And in that time, my husband became a deacon. He's been a deacon now in the Catholic Church for 10 years. I've written 17, 18 books. I have a Catholic radio show. I'm on EW10. It's crazy what happens when you say yes to God. Just so, you know, if you're it's very, very overwhelming sometimes. It's like this great adventure. He never shows you the whole picture. But when you say yes, he takes that yes seriously.
You also have to take the time to listen.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes. That's hard to do because I know in my case, I thought I was born and bred just to do secular media. And then when God started calling me out of it, even after I had my reversion to the faith, as I say in my Rosie book, the new book that just came out about my mom, it was a challenge for me. And she used to always say, and it's the first chapter in the book, she used to say, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross. And so I really had to do that time and time again, as I say in this book, in order to really understand what God was calling me to do. And that was to leave the secular media and to go down a different path with my communication skills.
Now, you just mentioned your book that we wanted to talk about, and you said that it's about your mother, Rosie. Can you just tell us a little bit about her?
Well, it's an awful lot to say. That's why I wrote She's a very feisty Italian-American woman from Jersey City, New Jersey. And the title of the book is Everything's Coming Up, Rosie, 10 things my feisty American mom, Italian-American mom, taught me about living a godly life. And she was a very proud Catholic Italian-American woman, loved Mary, loved the church, was very involved in our local parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and had all these funny, quirky sayings that she would say to me and my sisters when we were growing up. And of course, I'd roll my eyes and whatever, just, oh, that's really funny, Mom. But the older I got and the more experience I had in life and went through my own trials, I realized how profound those sayings were. So I tried to incorporate this into a talk, which I started doing about 15 years ago, because I also work as a motivational speaker. And I found that the talk was very well received, especially when I would speak in my mother's very strong Jersey accent, because it just seems to kind of have more of an emphasis and more of a punch to really speak as Rosie spoke. And one of my friends said, you know, you really need to put this in a book because this is just really time, you know, it's just really time-tested truths that are in here. You know, things like, as I mentioned, offer it up to God, put it at the foot of the cross. The Blessed Mother, MUTHA, the Blessed Mother is watching you. Be nice. It's not all peaches and cream. So those basic tenets, really, I think of living a godly life really rang true. As I said, the more I matured and went through my own trials. And so my mom was a beautiful woman inside and out, funny, feisty. We didn't have a perfect relationship. We you know, had a lot of, how do you want to say, Italian American moments. You know, we're both a little bit testadura, and I'm sure you know what that means. So, but I think it's a book for everyone because in this day and age in our cancel culture, right, you have to, it's as if you have to agree with everyone all the time and everyone has to accept everything that you believe or else you push them aside. Well, that's not life. And I think sometimes the people that challenge us the most are the ones from whom we can learn the most. And so, again, my mom and I didn't agree on everything, but she was a really good woman and she was a funny, down-to-earth, lovely person with a very gregarious personality who would just make you laugh and smile.
I love that. I can relate to that kind of relationship with my family, especially as I said, because I have a very big Italian family.
Italian
So,
family, right?
So your mother passed away a few years ago, and you shared a little bit about her, and you wrote this book in her in memory of her. Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, I think it was, I wanted to do a tribute to her because I don't think she had the proper send-off. When my father died, my parents were much loved in the parish, as I mentioned. My dad was in the choir. My mom was in all these different parish groups, and everybody loved them. They were very well known. And when my dad died, it was like a big Italian party. I mean, the wake was packed. The funeral home had to put up all these extra chairs. My relatives came in from Jersey City, and they're telling all the stories in the funeral home. We go to the cemetery and the cars were just lining, you know, the whole cemetery road. And it was just a beautiful, 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 truly Catholic send-off. And I so appreciate the ministry of, you know, the proper way to bury the dead because that we were treating those people with dignity. Well, my mom, we did the very best, and I have a wonderful pastor, and he tried so hard to give her, you know, her funeral, but everything was closing down when she died. She didn't die of COVID, she died of congestive heart failure, but she died on the Feast of St. Joseph, March 19, 2020. And in Michigan at that time, everything was beginning to close. And so we could not have a funeral mass. We could only have 10 people at the wake. And at the cemetery, it was just awful because we had to sit in the car and wait for the coffin to be lowered into the ground before we could get out and stand around and say our final goodbyes. And so I wanted to give her the big send-off that she didn't get. We obviously had a mass a few months later. But it just really broke my heart that my father just had this beautiful Catholic send-off, and poor Rosie Posey only had 10 of us really at her wake. And so, and again, her timeless wisdom is great to share, but I also want to give her a proper send-off. And so this is a tribute to that.
So it was really more about closure, and not only closure for you, but closure for the people in your community who loved and cherished Rosie, but didn't get the chance to say goodbye.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. It was closure. It was healing. It really just kind of helped me put, you know, wrap everything together and say a final goodbye to my mom because I just didn't feel that we had that. It was, you know, it was just everything just happened so quickly and it was just so short. And there was no, I mean, I made sure she looked beautiful. I got her new clothes for the put down a beautiful coffin, did everything. The funeral home was wonderful. The people did whatever they could to try to make it. It wasn't their fault. They were just operating under the horrific things that were going on at the time. But again, I just really needed the closure. And I also wanted to share as a tribute to her wisdom, because people loved her and everybody, because it's, I have so many friends that knew her from the parish where I'd met her just in terms of relating to me and my husband, Deacon Dom, would comment on Facebook. I could still hear her voice. I could see you two sitting together laughing or fighting or whatever was going on. So I think I wrote it for, as you said, not just myself and family, but for healing for the community.
And do you think that writing this book helped you work through your grieving process?
I think it did. And I also think, in many ways, the other thing that surprised me about it is that it helped me walk in my mother's shoes because I didn't always understand why she did some things. I didn't agree with everything she did. But then when I went back and I told a lot of the stories that I had heard, and I walked through those stories and I shared them in the book, it made me think about the challenges she had coming from a very large, poor Italian immigrant family from New Jersey, and how she really had a lot of hurt in her life based on experiences. I mean, they had a loving family, but there was a lot of persecution against immigrants when they came here in the 1900s. I mean, there still is, but there also was back then. And so she was very insecure for a while. And so I just really tried to place myself in her shoes and walk through her shoes. I think it gave me a much better understanding of who she was. And I feel closer to her after writing the book.
Could you share one of the lessons from the book that your mother taught you?
Well, I think probably the most important one is the first chapter, the lesson she always said to us, offer it up to God, put it at the foot of the cross. And I start with that in the book, because our relationship with God is always about surrender. We always have to surrender, put him first. My spiritual director always says, T, all things Christ. So put everything, you know, to God, give it over to him. She used to tell us that when we were having a stomach ache or didn't feel well. And I'd be like, what does God want with my stomach ache, my headache? What does he want with my illness? But what she meant was give it to him and allow him to use it for someone else. So we know that with redemptive suffering, we have such a beautiful teaching in the Catholic Church, a theology of redemptive suffering. But also really, I think to remember that everything is surrendering. We always have to surrender every single day and make sure that our will is in line with God's. So I think that probably I start out with that because I think it's one of the most important lessons in the book. And the other thing, another lesson she used to say, it's not all peaches and cream, you know. In other words, you know what? Life is going to stink sometimes. And I'm sorry, but you're not always going to get a cup of cocoa or a puppy to calm you down. You're going to run into issues, and you're going to have to deal with them, and you're going to have to deal with people you don't like. That's life, okay? This is not heaven. This is a journey. This is a pilgrimage. So they're very, very basic things. But we've gone, and it's common sense, as I say in the book, but, you know, common sense isn't so common anymore. We've gone so far away from the basics. I mean, you may have heard that recent report that came out from the Surgeon General. He talked about an epidemic of loneliness in the country, so much so that he put out a medical advisory about it. He said it's killing people, and it's just as bad as heart disease and diabetes. And when, you know what he said? It was one of the cures. He called it social connection. Well, we would call it Christian relationship. Mm-hmm. He said, invite someone over to dinner. Answer the phone when a friend calls. Be present when someone's in the room and they're talking to you. And do be supportive of others and do something for someone else besides yourself. Hello. I mean, that's like Christianity 101, right? Show up, do something. And yet we have to be told by the highest medical officer in the country that this is what we need to do to help solve this epidemic of loneliness. So I think this book is very timely and picks up a lot on what the government here has been saying about loneliness, but also Pope Francis has been talking a lot about that lately, the past few months. So I think it'll hit home with a lot of people.
I have to be honest, I love what you just said about common sense. Isn't that common at all now?
Well, the two lessons that you shared, I remember those lessons being taught when I was growing up too.
Right. You
know, I think I say this a lot to my son. You know, he's 22, and I always say to him, you know, I go, life's not always fair. You know, I've had that conversation with him often.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets that now, and the offer it up to God, that was another one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, my mom said that. I've said that to my son as well. Yeah. And but, you know,
important lessons.
Like, I think, yeah, we forget that. When do we learn something? If you look back on your life, I mean, I had a Bible study teacher once say that all sunshine makes a desert. In other words, if things are going perfectly, you know, beautifully for you all the time, then you're not going to be able to handle any type of crisis. And I think Father Michael Schmitz talks about not the helicopter parents, but the Zamboni parents. And those of us from the cold climates know what a Zamboni is, right? That the big machine that goes around and cleans the ice, in between periods of a hockey game. And I think we all try to do that sometimes, not just for kids, but for people we love. Oh, we're going to clean everything up and make sure everything is fine for them. It doesn't mean we want our loved ones to suffer, but we have to make sure that we're not blocking them from going through something that may teach them a very valuable lesson. Sometimes it's those hard lessons that teach us the most. I know that was the case with me.
Yeah, it's important.
But life's the great educator.
Ooh, yes. There you go,
Joel. If we allow it to be.
Yes,
if we allow it to be. A lot of people don't want it to be. They just think everything should be handed to them.
Right.
Well, I'm kind of guilty of that. I just kind of want sunshine and rainbows, but I know that there are going to be tough days.
I think we all have that. Nobody, I think very few of us are like the great saints who are asking for suffering. I mean, I'm that sure not true. There. Yeah. I'm not going to be there. Like St. Teresa of Avila was my patron. I love her, but I'm never going to be ever even like remotely close to her category. But at the end of the day, I think if we go back in our lives and we try to remember when we grew the most, it's going to be through a period of struggle or suffering. Mm-hmm. It's going to be those lessons that life taught us. So that, I think the book is really helpful in that.
So this is our final question for today, but as you know, and as we all know, the relationship between a mother and a daughter is very special. Do you have any advice for someone who has lost their mother or a mother figure in their lives?
I would just say try to really hold on to those memories and to think of them often. And in our great Catholic faith, we have this understanding to pray for them and ask them to pray for us. So I think it's really important not to forget them. And even if you didn't have a perfect relationship, to understand that that's okay. Not all relationships are perfect. And to think about the lessons that they did teach you. And I think that's why this book, another reason why this book is going to be really helpful. So again, I just want to put the book up here so you can see it. Everything's Coming Up Rosy, 10 Things My Feisty Italian and American Mother Taught Me About Living a Godly Life. And if you guys could plug it for me, I think people would really get a lot out of it, especially in the healing process when it comes to death, because I talk a lot about that in this book.
I think our viewers will really resonate with the lessons that are going to be talked about in the book.
Absolutely.
And where can our viewers find it?
They can find it at teresatomeo.com. And what? Just go to my book page. I think we also have a special page, teresatomeo.com/rosiebook. It's also available through the publisher, Sophia Press International. I think they have a discount on their website. But easiest is probably just teresatomeo.com/rosiebook, and that'll take you directly to the Sophia site.
Great. And for our listeners, I will put a link down below in the description that will lead directly to that webpage.
Fantastic.
So, great. And don't forget to listen to my show, Catholic Connection, on The Rock in Cleveland every day, Monday through Friday.
Yes, we love The Rock.
Yay, woohoo.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Teresa. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Shout out to Cleveland. Bye.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks guys.